You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic. This month in WordPress and Tech, it's our monthly roundtable show where we try and cover some of the leading WordPress and tech stories of the month. We've got a regular panel, but we attempt to get a guest panelist. This month, we've got a friend of the show, Matt Medeiros, with us. So, Matt, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the tribe?
Yep, Matt Medeiros. You can find me full-time at gravityforms.com. You can find me talking about WordPress along with Kurt over at thewpminute.com.
Yeah, he's trying to pitch my co-host, folks. It's terrible. It's disgusting. I've got... you can have Spencer, but don't have Kurt. I've got my friend Heather. Heather, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Heather Wild-Renzi. I am the CTO of The Difference, and I am known as the Unicorn Whisperer.
Yes, the Whisperer. And we got Mark as well. Mark, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Mark Benzikane. I'm with MainWP, and I'm coming to you from what feels like a jail cell somewhere in Northern California.
Yeah, you're probably going to be sent out of the country soon, actually.
No. I think I'm safe for today.
They're looking for you. They're definitely looking for me. That's for sure.
And I'm in WITSEC. Never mind.
Yes, there you go. We got Spencer with us. Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself?
It's Spence from WP Launchfire.
And you can't afford my contract anymore, Jonathan. That's the thing. I had to go free agent on you.
I'm not that worried, Spencer, to be truthful of that. I got Kirk as well. Kirk, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm scared now. I'm Kurt. I own a company called Manana No Mas. I focus largely on membership and learning websites. And apparently I work with a ton of people.
That's fantastic. In this great show, we're going to be discussing an article written by Matt Medeiros. What do AI site builders mean for freelancers? We're also going to be talking about a podcast and YouTube video done by the Authority Hackers. That kind of piqued my interest. And we've got a ton of other stories. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. Want to point out we've got a fabulous, fabulous special offers from the sponsors. Plus, we've got a curated list of the best WordPress plugins that will save you a ton of time. Plugins and services for you, the freelancer and the small agency owner. You can get all this great stuff by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. What more could you ask for, my beloved WordPress professionals? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get. That's for sure. That's all you're going to get from that page. So let's go straight into it. So Matt's been knocking out some fantastic stuff lately. I've been watching a fair bit of it, Matt. And you did this, what do AI site builders mean for freelancers? So would you like to kick off with what were one or two of the main points that you were trying to make in that video and article, Matt?
Yeah, so just a small clarification. This was written by Eric Karkovac, who writes for me at the WP Minute. And I think he was just evaluating. I had recently, at the time that he wrote this, I had recently evaluated WordPress.com AI tool. Which was, I mean, I don't want to, mediocre at best is not a fair phrase, but if you look at the tooling with AI stuff these days, and if you could say that things like Bolt and Replit and some other tools, if you were to consider those mature, you know, the dot-com stuff fell fairly short, fairly simple at the end of the day, but it's their first iteration of it. I assume things will get better. And I think that was the essence of Eric's piece, is we're at a stage right now where it's here. Folks can begin to evaluate it. And these will be tools for, you know, at least in the short term, for the real beginner, with the big question mark of what happens next. Like, what happens next once they finish this website? Is it complete in their eyes? Do they feel like it's serving their purposes? Is it serving their purposes? And you know, what comes next for their business? Like, if you're looking at it from a business perspective, I'm a plumber, I'm an accountant, I need to build a site. Is this actually satisfying my business needs? Which is the large unknown. Maintenance and all that other stuff happens across the board. I think we'll talk about that in some other articles here today. I think Eric was just trying to pocket, you know, where these services fit these days, maybe particularly .com, and, you know, for the beginner, really.
Yeah, and I think with some of your latest videos, some of your rants, your position about AI is very similar to mine. I think it's fabulous in some ways, but the way it's been presented, it just rubs me up the wrong way. And I think you've expressed that as well. Would I be right?
Yeah. I'm still cautiously optimistic on the whole thing. I see some of the value, there's camps of people who laugh when I say that and say your job's gone in 2 years. One of those people are my own brother, who does a lot with financial stuff in AI, and we have spirited debates offline about this stuff, you know. And there's those of us who look at it and like, hey, if this is all we got, all right. So 30% of the bottom rung of either individuals or tasks that you're trying to do will be served by AI. You know, I think it's somewhere in the middle, but it's too hard to tell.
Thanks. So, Heather, what do you reckon? Because I think the latest Google conference and what you're seeing being done in video is very impressive. And I use a fair bit of AI and it's been very helpful, but I'm very burnt out and basically a little bit grumpy by what I see as the AI propagandists, a certain kind of group online. So what's your feelings, Heather?
Well, there's so much AI content out there and there's so many AI content builders that I think we need to separate the idea that AI can create everything for us. Like, just type in, I want a website created about this in a second. And then the idea behind what that website is. So like, yeah, there's AI website generators, but most of them are just turning out slop. Like, if you just type a general prompt into ChatGPT, most of the answers you get back are gross. Like the lawyers that are, I mean, I read an article yesterday about how there's so many law cases that are happening right now that have fake citations in them. And that's becoming more and more of a problem because like paralegals are out of work. The thing is, if you are somebody that has domain expertise and know how to craft the pre-prompt before it goes into the site builder, and then you know what it's coming back to you, and then you know how to work with it as an actual tool, as if it was an IDE, then you can use this as a tool to create a site, or you can use it to help you win a law case, or like create the documents, and like, you know how to like cross-reference it with the real materials, or you can, whatever your domain is that you're using it as a tool. Just like the movies that are being created with those videos, like there are some beautiful things that are being created, and then there's some terrible, terrible slop that's being created. So that's what I have to say about that.
Yeah, I think that's very insightful. What do you reckon, Mark? Oh, you're muted.
Yeah, I clicked it twice. You know, I think that there's always going to be a level of expertise at the human level that's required. Heather touched on it a little bit, knowing A, what to prompt, and B, most, you know, if we're talking about like people putting out something, most business owners don't want to bother themselves with the DIY. They want to focus on whatever they got into business for. I work here in a co-working location which has 250 other businesses. I've talked to a lot of them. I can tell you almost all of them that I've spoken to are like, I want nothing to do with it. I don't care if AI does it or not. So, you know, I think the other thing is, a lot of this has to do with the hype. Once you get the hype out there and everybody gets on board with the hype, then the ideas start coming and things start getting better and better. So I am kind of with Matt on this. I see it getting better, but I also feel like there's always going to be a need for humans with expertise on knowing what to look for and knowing how to set things up and everything else. And I mean, have you ever looked at something and said, oh, that should be easy? And then you go to YouTube University and watch the video on it and you go, that's easy, but it's too many steps. And so you decide not to do it. That's the same thing. You know, you could put in an AI prompt, and by the time AI spits out, you know, your scope of work and this and that and the other thing, your chances are, unless that's what you do on a daily basis, you're going to look at it and go, that's too much work. I'll just farm it out. So
Well, I see where you're coming from, but I think there's definitely, when you see avatars that can represent you, and you could use it for foreign languages for your course website. You know, it's helped me be more productive.
Well, sure. Yeah, that's enhancing. That's enhancing what you do. That's not replacing what you do, though.
Yeah, I see. Totally. So, Kurt, you know, I told you that I do think it is a revolutionary set of tools, but I also feel that it has a lot of the echoes of the dot-com bust, and it's been well over-invested and pumped to a level that's reached the dot-com, or I think it will surpass it and the dip, you know. So what do you think, Kurt?
To make this extremely relatable to folks that might not be in the space, let's say you want to get into skateboarding and you run down to a skateboard store and you pick your deck, you pick your graphic, you pick the aggregate and grit stuff on the top, you pick the wheels, the bearings in the wheels, the trucks, and they put the whole thing together for you, and you go to the skate park and you're just blown away. You're like, man, this thing's amazing. Or you go to Walmart and you buy a $29.95 skateboard off the shelf and you almost kill yourself on it. That to me is like the difference between jumping into AI with the way they market the AI tools versus knowing what you're really doing with the tools. You know, I watch some of these things on building the prompts to make these AI generated sites, and I'm like, well, you need a doctor.
Well, we're going to be, I think one of the poster boys is the next kind of story we're going to be that I've
sometimes I'm a man before my time.
Yeah, I select them as the poster boys of this.
But to me, it's like mountain biking or skateboarding or any of these things where you use a premium tool to do a premium thing and you get a premium result. And if you go grab something off the shelf and you take what you're given, you get the results of something that didn't take any planning.
Yeah. So, Mr. AI, Spencer Forum, what do you reckon?
I take a lot of what everybody said, and I'm going to integrate it into a contrarian answer because I'm really deep down this rabbit hole, and I've actually, I don't go just one tippy toe in. I'm all in. And so I've been spending the last 2 weeks really deeply coding using, I like the skateboard metaphor. I'm going to use the guitar amplifier metaphor. You ever seen like a rock concert, you see the big speakers, and then somebody put a head on the top that has all the brains to make the sounds you want. If you can imagine a WordPress stack and you put a head on top of it, here's my thought. Everybody is wasting their time doing anything that has to do with adding AI to the current tools like theme generators and plugins and everything else. Here's why. Because I've already bypassed all of this stuff and I'm not special. I'm just doing what the guys and ladies are doing in the vibe coding space, but with WordPress under the hood. If you think of WordPress as components, the stuff that does the action, as the machines in a factory, what I'm saying is there's no point in all these companies coming out with their AI, this and AI, that and AI, that, because I've already built with almost no work an agentic Jarvis that sits on top of the stack and lets me talk to it. And it uses the private data set and all of the rules I want combined with the external search and external tools to essentially say, hey, Jarvis, do this for me. Find the latest five products that have sold the best, combine it with what the people in my social network are saying, go ahead and create a custom post, do the images, make a video that has John Denwood in it, put it on Twitter, Facebook, blah, 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 and then do A/B testing on the UTM code, find out how people react to it.
He's made a nice video of me, folks. You can go and find it on Twitter. So he was so generous, the version.
What I'm saying is, if you want to be scared, watch how good, for example, Google's Flow is. But what I'm saying is, look at an Iron Man movie with Tony Stark or, you know, Robert Downey Jr. talking to Jarvis, okay? That's what WordPress is going to be like 5 seconds from now. And I hope to be part of it. Nobody is going to be inside the suit going, oh, let me open up the Cadence menu and go to the appearance customizer and turn the knob. And then I'm going to tell it inside of there to make this pretty. And then I'm going to go to the other plugin and talk to their AI. And then I'm going to go to another plugin to do this. All of the tools that everybody's building is a waste of time because the tools don't live by themselves outside of what they're supposed to do as part of the whole. And this gargantuan vacuum that has been left by Mullenweg is a beautiful thing now. Why? Because the rest of us now can come in and he's going to be in litigation or wherever he's going to be for the rest of his life. The rest of us can get together and start thinking in terms of things like MCP, which is, you know, a connection protocol between your WordPress private box and external stuff to actually share data. But even just in the box itself, I am shocked with how I've done probably a year and a half, 2 years of development in 3 days. And it's getting scarier because of the tools like Google Flow that allow me to instantly generate live video. So for marketing, you know what we're not going to be doing? Not going to be worrying about hiring a bunch of team of marketers to create Facebook ads and make images and all that other bullshit. I'm just going to tell my Jarvis, look at the customers that I have. Look at the profile information they give me. Go out and research them. Look at what they bought in my site. Create a campaign with custom videos that I can send to them like a personal note instantly. And then track the behavior. And that kind of shit is here today. I'm shocked that I'm the only person really, well, maybe I'm not, but like in WordPress, everybody's focused on their own little tool. And I'm like, this is like blacksmiths talking about their one tool. And I'm talking about we're going to be driving cars that fly in the air and you're still making horseshoes. You know, that's the part that's shocking to me, but also so exciting. So exciting because it's game over like 1,000 miles an hour versus all this other stuff.
I can tell you're excited. So let's go on to my next story. I kind of been following these two guys for over a year. It was Brian Jackson, a friend of the show, who went on their podcast and then they came on my radar. And I've got very mixed feelings with these two geezers as I was. Breton and Mark Webster. Breton, I actually thought he was the worst of the worst, a Belgian Flemish, but he's actually French. So that makes him maybe even worse to me. That was a good one there, though. You should laugh at that. I've always had mixed feelings about the French. I'm English. And they did this podcast, a video cast, and Breton, he went on a rant, you know, showing, you know, this, that, the other, all over the place, this AI technology. And what I've got to explain to the panel quickly is that their business model, they've got various businesses, but they're, when it comes to the authority hacker, their main business was showing people how to post and use affiliate marketing to generate income. And that's what their membership side. And they had to close it down because obviously AI has killed that kind of business model. And now they're gone into AI and how you can make $10,000 a month by using all these AI tools, and they're going to build a community. And old Breton, he went on a real, you know, using like every sort of AI tool. And all I could say to it, panel, was that just get a WordPress theme and just... Why spend like 3 hours of your life looking at stuff? And he just got more and more down the rabbit hole using Firebase and Vine and this, the other, and it was all, and use this free service and use that free service. And he got more and more about what they're selling to their own tribe and less to do with actual real customers, in my opinion. So, Matt, I kind of threw these two geezers under the bus, but I just think they're poster childs to an ever larger group of people on YouTube that are kind of semi-drifters, basically, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, marketers ruin everything. Right. But it's also that we're on that hype cycle. Like, this is the gold rush. Some even say the gold rush has already passed. And I think this is what we see, especially on YouTube. I mean, I've fallen victim to it. When I do AI based videos on my channel, they blow up because that's what people want right now. I'm interested in it. I'm working on a video right now, editing a video right now about how I do vibe coding WordPress plugins. And I, you know, there's a lot of things that Spencer said before that I would love to chat about, but we'll save that, I guess, for that next article. But I totally agree. The hopeful side of me for WordPress, like, will WordPress survive this AI onslaught? I hope so. And I hope it's because at some point we start to realize the value of code that's done for you, right? Can I go to Bolt and Replit and build a WordPress alternative? The answer is yes. Will I be able to sustain that and do that myself and continue to iterate on it and keep it secure? The answer right now anyway is no, until there's like some agent that comes in the back end and just does all of that stuff for you. So that's a thing. But I think that there's hope for the future of WordPress when you can turn and say, just give me a WordPress. It's done. Like, the user management is done. It's open source. And by the way, there are hundreds or thousands of people who think about this code that can help me iterate this and see this into the future. Back to my point about that video I was working on, I actually complained as a non-developer, somebody who has no idea how to write code. I complained that, that cursor took 5 minutes to write 4,000 lines of code.
Like, that's the case.
Yeah, like, that's the world that we're living in. I'm like, damn, that took 5 minutes. That was way too long. 4,000 lines of code that I could never write in my lifetime. So I totally get like the juxtaposition that we're in. But I am hopeful for the future of WordPress because of the things that we just said. But also, I'm looking at all this stuff about making all this money in a weekend, making it in a day, and I'm just like, typical marketers just ruining this stuff.
Well, yeah. So, Kurt, what do you, because the audience they're pitching this to are, you know, people looking to make money online, and they're kind of looking for a second income, kind of, is that set up? So you got to understand what they're pitching, but I don't know if you watched the video as he was just expanding the tool set, you know, and it's so divorced to the customers that you're helping me on a day-to-day basis deal with at WP Tonic. It's so, there are some of our clientele that would watch that and probably have a go at it, but the bulk of them, it's so divorced. Or am I wrong, Kurt?
It is so divorced from the people that we typically deal with. And that, to me, is the light at the end of the tunnel for me, because the more I can refer my potential clients to pieces like this when they ask those questions, because they all ask that question, you know, couldn't I just have AI whip this up for me real quick? And And I go, yeah, sure. You know, here's a great resource to show you how to do that. And then they just come back and go, you know what? I want to talk to a human being. I want to talk to an expert. I need someone to walk me through this. And you go, okay, great. Well, let's do this the way that we do it. And I'm a hypocrite in the way that I say it all the time. Like, I use AI. I use AI as a tool. But to use AI effectively, you need to understand what it's doing and what the outcomes should be. And people that are new to the atmosphere, they aren't getting the background information. So for us, I think it's helpful when this is like Lifter LMS had a guest on the other day doing an AI demonstration, and it got so layered in, take it from here to this, have it refreshed here, put it here, save it there, drag it down here, alter it this way. I was like, the people that we deal with, they don't have the patience for that. They want to sell coffees at their coffee shop and stuff like that. So I'm quite happy with where we're at.
All right, Spencer, I'll let you.
Right. I don't interrupt, but I didn't want to lose the thought. Okay, so here's the deal. We're all talking about the same thing, but the logic of this is really so simple. Let me reframe you guys and see if you agree. Number one, the best thing about WordPress, which is why I referred to like the gift of what Mullenweg created and left for us, is when you're using all the outside vibe coding tools, there's an unspoken problem that nobody's mentioned that's the biggest problem. You have to have an expertise in understanding all these externalities. It's beyond complex. I've been doing this 20 years, and for me, there's 9,000 new things plus the other 150,000 things that I have to understand to piece together. Compare that to when you go to IKEA to decorate your house. There's one dude in a yellow vest. Anything you buy at IKEA, you can take home in a flat pack, and guaranteed after a good lunch with the kids, you're going to assemble it and have it in your house. WordPress has all of the features we need, but they're currently a la carte flea market style versus the outside world. So as a box that has the pieces, the parts, the components, and as Matt referred to, the energy of the community people building the functions. But in the past, they built it as a standalone run by itself thing. Now just think of it in terms of a feature, like one of the things you'd buy at IKEA. So owning that box for a flat fee and having all those things is currently really complex because they all fight with each other and they bang into each other. But as soon as it's organized like IKEA, where they're all the same instruction sheet with, you know, pictures of people and all work together and curated, now you've got the ability for AI to do its magic, because the things that the AI can deliver can be brought to a box that you own, you control, can be private data, requires no external stacks or knowledge. And to what Kurt says, which is really the point, the human relationship is the only thing that matters from today onwards. Why? Because I've been doing this like a kid in a candy store for 20 years, and this AI thing has thrown me for a loop, because never before have people been so interested in, Spence, holy shit, I need this AI stuff in my business yesterday. Well, where are they going to find somebody who's going to give that to them?
I will give you that, because you have got a history of education and you've got a very long history of trying to educate people that want to build a second income or a career in being a power implementer in WordPress. And that gives you credibility, because you have got a substantial history in that particular sector. So
I'll bring it back to the intermediaries. Like, so for example, Brian, a good friend, anybody who's an intermediary in WordPress or wants to do it for own business. Currently, the problem is all these competing interests fighting to get your attention for their one plugin, their one theme, their one process, their whatever. And then the whole, holy shit, we want to do AI. What I'm saying is WordPress is actually the best platform ever, because it's the only one that's, besides Drupal, but Drupal's nowhere near this, that is open source, has all the parts, all the energy, all the people. But what has to happen is people have to stop thinking about building their own crazy AI tool for this and that to move the levers independently, and just think of it as a black box that's delivered to everybody. Because then you or I or any intermediary can go to a service or a business that is essentially, here you go, for $97 a month, everything you need with all the software ready to go, plus the AI tools. And you don't have to learn a freaking thing, because there's going to be a thing like an AI Jarvis on tap.
Yeah, I think who knows, but right. I just think
that's the way it's going to be,
because who would waste? You might be right. So, Heather, Do you think I was a...
That was a Luddite shutdown, by the way.
No, I use more Kirk will...
That was a seawalk.
Kind of Kirk will tell like, you that I have this AI.
After 20 years of knowing you, I'm not going to... I need a rhetorical on this one. Anybody can do whatever they want, but just to close my thought, because that was really... I'm not going to stand for that one. WordPress is going to become what it's going to become, but we've already seen the example of how the marketplace is imploding. Everybody who's making plugins is seeing their sales go away because people are attracted to the shiny ball, the moth to the flame of the outside world. And what I'm saying is we have the ability to deliver WordPress as a service in the way it always could be, with the ownership, the control, the other mandates that the outside world really would benefit from, because there's no oligarch that's going to turn off your WordPress site. Unless you go to WordPress.com, which you'd be stupid to do, but on your own self-hosted version, and that's it. And I think that's where it's all going to, because the way this AI is going, people are going to have AI stuff that just shows up in their glasses and their hearing aids in their car. The websites themselves only have 5 seconds left to live. WordPress is just a box that later we can use for things that it connects to.
It's not going to be on the screen. Your philosophy in that, it might prove to be correct, or it might not prove to be correct. I'm not disparaging your own site. So
I think you're disparaging me. I just think I've shut down the idea too bad.
You know, right, there we go. I think I've given you a load of time in this podcast.
You're very generous.
Yeah, I think I've given you about 5 times more time than the other panelists. So Heather, do you think I was a bit cruel to Breton and Mark, but I don't know if you had time to watch the video, but it to me, it just spiraled one service on the top. And if you're into becoming not a professional developer, but a power implementer and a marketer, I think you know the type that I'm talking about, which are a lot of the crowd that's attracted to WordPress. And one of the things, Breton, you know, he's very anti WordPress now, or he seems to be, because they're selling a non-WordPress solution. But when they were selling their other products, they were very pro-WordPress. So I found that amusing. But it just kind of, as I watched him and I watched all these AI services, I just had to chuckle, because it was totally divorced to the majority of people that I'm working with. Can you see why I had that reaction to it, Heather?
Yeah, I mean, like, first of all, anytime you've got like smarmy sales guys like that, it turns you off, because, I mean, we've all dealt with them our entire careers in tech. Like, all of us have been around the block a little bit. And every time there's a new hotness, like, they're always trying to sell it and repackage it. And I mean, like, even on their own site, like, I mean, if you look in the internet archives, like, they've rebranded it a bunch of times for whatever it is. So I don't know if you've seen recently, there's this thing called PDF farming that they're trying to repackage and sell as the way that you can make money with AI really fast. But like, PDF farming is just a rebranding of sales swipe tools that have been around since like the 90s. Like, they just take these same PDFs like that have been around forever, and they're like, oh, just sell these like to people for whatever. And but now we're using AI to create the sites to sell them. I mean, the idea is that, like, it is a gold rush. People are trying to make money as quickly as possible. And as long as there's some, like, salesman out there that can make as much money as possible before they move on to the next thing, then that's what it is. But there are real people out there that are able, like Spencer is saying, to just take the tools with their real expertise, make it happen and make things happen, make the world move forward. And just, that's who you got to find. You got to find the people that are actually getting shit done. And they're like, newsflash, they're the same people that have been getting shit done this whole time. They're not flashy. They're just there, and they're heads down. They're doing work, and they're barreling through. And this is a really exciting time. This is
because I really don't want to come across that I'm totally negative to what Spencer's trying, because I think I'm aware that this is the interesting time for WordPress, because a bit like what Matt said in one of his last videos, it really could be a new burst of energy in the WordPress community, and it really could be significant, and WordPress could really benefit, or it could be the totally opposite, which Breton and Mark Webster are trying, because of for commercial reasons they're now pushing, and there's a load of Bretons and Websters out there. There's an army of them pushing their tosh, in my opinion. Sorry, Unin Spence, and we'll go.
I want to add to what you're saying, to say that, like, this train having left the station, this is the danger to WordPress, okay? Right now, we've got a unique advantage to take the half of the internet that's using WordPress and give them a system that allows them to recognize the value of the ownership and control of a box that's open source. Unless or until somebody comes along with a new box that's independently created, open source, which is important here, that is all AI, that can do essentially all the things that I'm suggesting WordPress could be doing right now, which is to eliminate all the bells and the dials and the switches of all the components and just have a black box you own and control that you tell it what to do, and it owns your data privately and allows you to use it for your business. What I'm suggesting is right now WordPress has all the features and I'm able to deliver to them in the black box. Somebody in 5 seconds is going to make a black box open source product that essentially bypasses the need for page builders and theme builders. And
that's where we're going to have to disagree on, because...
Well, I'm just saying, it's the only difference is...
Basically, you're in with Breton and Mark Webster. Basically, your view is basically the same view as what they peddle.
What I'm saying is, based upon the actual software we have, somebody could right now take the WordPress software, talk to AI, and say, build an open source with all these features that's a box that you rent and sell, but it's not actually WordPress. And that's the only difference, because nobody's going to want to do all these adjustments like hexadecimal and CSS and stuff when the AI has reached the point of, like, holy shit, it's making live action videos of Jonathan as a Nazi. I mean, why is it going to need any help?
There we go. Off the WordPress community think I'm a fascist.
Demonstrated by his...
There we go. Look, I can't fuck what they think.
Can I jump in on some of this? So I think one of the things that... So I agree with a lot of what Spencer's saying, and I just hold two threads of thought with this stuff, is... like the fear for WordPress and the excitement for WordPress at the same time. The fear of it is when I use something like Replit to build a bespoke JavaScript app, something that is hilarious for me to even say, because I'm incapable of it without tokens and an agent. When I build it in Replit, what makes me scared for WordPress, obviously, is... Replit will just give you whatever, like if you prompt it and you prompt it like an average user, like you don't tell it what you want to use. Let's say 99% of the time it just defaults to React with Tailwind. And, the thought of like WordPress, PHP, HTML and CSS is not a thing that an average user is even going to have to question anymore. So like what happens to WordPress and open source and all of that open source code that we've worked on for many years when Replit just doesn't even think about it, or any other AI tool doesn't think about it? The second thing, which is actually the thing that scares me the most, is the experience of building specifically with Replit and their mobile app is that I can start building here at my desk and then walk away to my kids' basketball practice and sit in the bleachers and be on the Replit app building an app, you know, in this effortless, beautiful way, which is like that ease of use, that ability to just build wherever you are, is something that I see WordPress so far away from. Maybe .com comes out with an AI builder.
Push back, mate. I think, like I say, a lot of the... videos you've been recently making, I think you made some fantastic points, but I think you underestimate your, in some ways, because you're it's one of your great strengths is you're not always marketing yourself. Is you underrate your knowledge, which because you've got all this massive knowledge of 20 years and you say you're not a developer, which is true, but you've got all that knowledge working with developers and that. Well, the average, well, fair enough, Spencer, you might be right. But I think you do need that. And the people that push this the most, they don't spell out. They've got a load of knowledge behind what they're doing.
In transition, yes. But the problem is, like, when you compare people that were mechanics of car engines, right? A diesel engine, a gas engine. Those mechanics can't just transition immediately to being electronic car mechanics. Some of the things like the wheel bearings and the mechanics of the suspension, but not on the engines and the computer systems. The people of today who are WordPress experts, and I like to think I'm one of them, 20 years, all of my knowledge of how to build stuff, under the hood, I'm a marketer and a human psychology person and a salesperson. But the development skills that I need are not as important as understanding the outcome that I need for a client for a sales funnel or for how to do a proper, you know, email. The skills you referred to, I would agree with as an implementer, are people skills, sales skills, human engineering skills, but not WordPress skills. For the same reason that when we started this thing, you and I met 20 years ago, like we were doing HTML, CSS, hard-coded sites. And we don't do that. And we don't do, you know, Divi Builder or Elementor probably anymore either. These skills are different because that's where the AI, and Matt's thing is awesome. I want to suggest something. There's one other thing that Matt was probably thinking, and I just say, I've thought of it too.
I do want to go for the break and cover.
Okay, just on this. When you use Replit and you make the site, the big downside is right now, it's a one-off. It disappears. Versus in a WordPress, you have an iterative thing. You can go, oh, that wasn't right. Fix it. That's a big difference right now.
Yeah, right. We're going to go for our break, folks. We've had a great first half. We've got a couple more stories that I want to get through before we call this a day. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code PODCAST20. That's PODCAST20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. I want to point out, if you're looking for a great hosting provider, but much more, and you're looking to build a community website or a subscription website for a client, and you want all the latest WordPress technology and a great partner, why don't you look at WP Tonic? We are much more than a hosting provider. We're a true partner in your build out. That sounds interesting. Go over to wp-tonic.com/partners. wp-tonic.com/partners. Let's build something special together. So on we go. A story that was on my radar was a PDF from WP Engine, and WordPress sites cost up to 44% less than priority CMS platforms, WP Engine report finds. So, Heather, what did you think of this one? The only thing I got to point out, I did read it. This independent experts, they never tell you who they are. That's the problem with the document. Who are these outside?
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, anecdotally, I can see this being true.
Yeah.
because with a WordPress site, like all of your costs are generally self-contained. Whereas if you're running an AWS server or some other kind of site, like you've got multiple different things that you have to deal with. So like, I mean, if you're running a WordPress site, like the CMS contains everything. And most of the people running WordPress sites are doing managed hosting. So they just have one price and then that's all they have to deal with. Whereas like a very small percentage of the people running WordPress sites have to like pay for an ECS bucket or, and then have other things. So yeah, no, I can absolutely believe this.
So what do you think is one of the main, before I throw it over to Matt, what do you think is one of the main things that's stopping the growth? I think it's still this security thing that still rears its head when we're talking to associations and nonprofits and some.
You mean the growth of WordPress, among other things? I mean, it's
got in this particular, as a replacement in for medium to slightly large organizations.
Oh, well, I mean, it's already got 30% of the internet. It's not going to get more than that. I mean, I think that, yeah, like you've got a lot of government sites already because FedRAMP like allows WordPress. But the larger sites, the more complex sites that aren't on WordPress for some, like they are not on WordPress and they'll never be on WordPress because of their complexity. And that's where your limit is.
Yeah. All right. So Matt, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, I don't have a ton to add after what Heather said, but yeah, it just makes sense. Like when you compare it to, you know, whatever Sitecore and Adobe and Jake Goldman, you know, whatever they charge for licenses, you know, in the millions, multi-millions to license some of these systems. So yeah, it makes sense that you're not getting that same cost at WordPress. And I did also add, Jake Goldman did an amazing presentation at PressConf about this, and I'm going to forget all the names, but he mentioned a whole bunch of enterprise CMS systems that are beating out WordPress, regardless of it being open source and air quotes easy to use, simply because they just integrate across an entire enterprise stack, and those things like WordPress will never compete against. Symfony, I think, is one of them, if I'm remembering correctly. So, yeah, and again, in the face of AI, it's going to be tough from a marketing sales packaging. Like, how is WordPress going to continue to compete in the enterprises? It's a whole thing in my head.
Yeah, so Mark, what do you think of this piece?
I think, it's nice to see something out of WP Engine that has nothing to do with lawsuits. But other than that, I agree. I think wholeheartedly with Heather and Matt. This is not surprising. If you were to ask me to speculate, I probably would have speculated exactly the same thing. So I don't really have a lot to add to it. Other than that,
yeah. So what did you think?
I'll be honest with you. I think it's horribly underestimated. So this speaks to one of our verticals in our agency perfectly. We focus on taking enterprise-level clients with their SCORM-specialized websites that they spend multiple six figures on every year and migrating them to a WordPress example that still runs SCORM and uses an LMS. And we're able to do it, I mean, literally for, you know, a fifth to a fourth of their annual budget to keep that same content going, but give them a CMS wrapped around the LMS, which is actually adding to the services they're getting for that overpriced original site. So in our little agency, this whole article just grossly underestimates the actual savings that WordPress provides certain clients.
Well, that's great. I think let's move on to the next story. What in the world are Johnny Ives and Sam Altman building? And this is a good question, Heather. You know, I think Johnny had his own agency and he got a load of the Apple crowd to join him, and then Sam came with a load of money and kind of bought the agency, or they're going to be the sole client of the agency, and it was done in OpenAI, but the actual company that bought the agency isn't actually, it's a totally independent company. It's very complicated, as anything to do with Sam Altman seems to be very complicated. And I've listened to quite a bit about what they seem to be planning on building, and they've got prototypes. And I don't know if you watched their promotional video where they were doing the walk in San Francisco, Heather. So, what do you reckon about it, Heather?
Considering that they've said that they believe that the humane tin and the rabbit are, like, were bad, but they haven't talked about the limitless. But they do say that it is something that should go on your desk in addition to your, like, it should be another device, like your phone or your laptop or your MacBook. I don't know. Like, so before the iPhone, people didn't know what they needed. Like, I knew that the iPad was coming because we were one of the, like, Evernote was one of the few companies that was aware of it. So, like, that wasn't a big surprise for us. But as far as what this could be, that will be a device that, like, everyone needs. The only thing that I remember the Segway hype, and nobody knew what that was going to be. And everybody thought that, like, Segway was going to change the world and stuff. And, like, they were way off with that. So this could be a Segway, or it could be an iPad. And if it's in the iPad kind of realm, then, like, we could have a desktop hologram. And if it is that kind of thing, then, like, we could have, like, your personal holographic, because they've said, like, it's going to live on your desk, like, that is going to be, like, a thing that lives in a place, not something that you take with you necessarily. So, yeah, I mean, if this is, like, your personal, like, Jarvis that lives on your desk and, like, has your brain, that, like, that's the only kind of, like, so if that's what is in their mind, then I understand. Like, they're creating Jarvis.
Well, it could be really big, or it could be the biggest burn through of capital.
No. I mean, like, I think that their idea is that they're creating a Jarvis.
Yeah. All right. So Mr. Spencer, who has these ladies all around him, a new lady for you.
I am more now in my...
To every word you say, like we've had the experience in this podcast.
I'm like the Dan Bilzerian of AI girlfriends. So now I have Claude, I have OpenAI, I have all these in my phone. And let me say, it's really life-changing, because as much as I do think that we're going to have a lot of time still left on the screens, the combination of two things. First of all, wearable devices from your phone to your ear, phone to your eye, augmenting reality is a game changer. I wear hearing aids with Bluetooth in them all the time. Plus, I've got glasses, but I don't have augmented reality. But I have the Claude and the other things inside of my phone now. And having a conversation with that, especially with its high-end capability, projects, private data to use essentially as the, you know, the engine. This weekend, beyond the other things I did, I took all my medical data and I put it in place. And I was just sitting there having a conversation in the hot tub about what future treatments, what research is necessary, where should I go with this, et cetera. And then it stored and saved all of it ready, created an actual real world report that I brought to my actual surgeon, who happens to be open-ended to this stuff. But with the current technology of things like mRNA and 3D printing and the stuff where they got proteins, I think we're going to be moving into a world very quickly where the medical field will start to deliver physical world solutions to your body based upon what the AIs are recommending. Because what I don't think anybody who's not really gone so deep in this has realized is people are just thinking of this like, oh, this is like a cool little tool, like a new Google, right? And I'm like, holy shit, we're living in a different universe right now. And as these things compound,
which you might be totally right, or
we're going to be in a world where all of the things as metaphors we thought were true. And maybe, and this is the scary part. The one scary part to me is the current world we live in with human beings has two types of human beings. Those that want a bright future and those that want a dystopian future. And those that want a bright future, this could be the way we get out of the dystopian future. But for those who want the dystopian future, this is the way they create an Aldous Huxley novel or worse. And so that's the problem, is that this is escaping reality now, where somebody with nefarious intent by themselves in a cave is worse than a James Bond movie, because everything from releasing viruses to, like, you know, turning off the banking system to impersonating people having sex with their dog. I mean, these things are just reality now. And when you talk about money and blackmail and politics.
Thank you so much for putting that in mind.
Guys, think about this, like, in the real world. Like,
yeah, I want to move on to the next ones.
People who just literally don't look farther than turning on the TV and some talking head tells them something. And
it's always been that.
Those people have a bank account, and those people need to get food at the supermarket. And those people have, you know, all these things they rely on.
We need to move on, Spencer. So on to the next one. All right, on to the next one. I want to cover this.
I don't realize the show after 18 years of doing this has turned into, like, we just got to get to the next story. Like, is that what this has become?
I think any of the panel would agree that I've given you plenty of time on the show.
You guys don't want to talk.
And Spencer, I agree with you. I have the Meta glasses. I have a limitless pen. And I, like, carry my, I don't actually talk to my stuff, though. I type 100% because I believe in reading comprehension.
Oh, right. The voice feature is impressive even on your desktop, because when you talk, even if you type fast, it's just perfect recognition. It's like talking.
Yep. Well, it's very helpful for me. So I want to go and cover this before we all have to part our ways. Matt did another great YouTube, and will you help with this? So, Matt, what was the key thing that you were trying to get across in this video, mate?
Yeah, I mean, really simply, it's just from a 50,000-foot view, trying to put together this initiative, if you can even call it that, for WordPress. I still hold on to the helping WordPress thrive phrase that Josefa put out many years ago, because of all the stuff. Everything we talked about, AI, lawsuits, WordPress experience being still too difficult for the beginner user, et cetera, et cetera. And not a lot of positive energy around WordPress so much. And I'm just going to start a small initiative for folks to just start writing about WordPress, making videos about WordPress. And the initial first step is just tell me why WordPress, right? And that's the sort of call to action. It's like, why WordPress? Is it because it's the box that fights against, the open source box that fights against AI, and you can save all that in here and have all that personal data in your own sort of way? Is it because it enables you to build websites and sell it to people? Is it because it enables you to blog and stuff? So really, it's just a loose way of getting some kind of positive energy about WordPress. And I know we all know the issues with the WordPress marketing team and how that all went down, with both of its positives and negatives on both sides of the fence. And I just want a collective action of folks talking and sharing what they do with WordPress in a positive way, so that we don't just think it's all lawsuits and artificial intelligence destroying us. So that's that.
So, Mark, as I listen to the video, and I've just listened to Matt, I'm really conflicted, because I really respect Matt's opinion, and I want to totally agree with him, but... And I'm just going to say something that I don't really believe, because the last thing I think is Matt is naive. But I just think this part of me that just thinks you're naive, Matt, and it's a part that I don't want to listen to, because I know you're not. So, and the reason why I feel that way, Matt, is it's the guy that one of the guys that found this. He won't bend. He won't sort out the association. He won't sort out anybody that's running one of the largest open source projects in the world that set this abomination of control mechanisms. It's an abomination, in my opinion. It was an abomination that I knew when I found out about it 6 years ago. I kind of backed off. And so I support WordPress the best I can, but I'm not prepared to just deny the reality of it. And I think it's pretty ugly. What do you reckon, Mark?
Well,
First of all, I actually have a little bit of a history with the WordPress marketing team. I was part of the group that when it was conceived and the inception of it. And my feeling on the at the time was there's no vision here, and we saw where that went. So I think that something like this actually needs to be headed up by someone like Matt Medeiros, because he's not naive and because he has been here as long as he has, and he knows all the pitfalls. And I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's brand new or if it's 20 years old or 30 years old. Nothing comes without its pitfalls. And so I don't think that Matt's sitting here saying, hey, let's have a Pollyanna attitude towards everything. I think my take on this is we do have to still remember there is a lot of good that's within WordPress, and we have let this one thing overshadow all that. And maybe it's time to get back to talking about the good that is WordPress and focusing on, you know, the 90% good rather than the 10% crap that has taken over 100% of the conversation. So,
I think I was using very clumsy language, but I wasn't doing. It was just the way I was. I was kind of torn as I was listening to the vision.
Sure, I mean, I think we all are
at the same time.
I think we all feel a little bit of terror because we know the realities of things, but you know, it's kind of like, when Spencer was talking about the dystopian future or the bright future, which one do you want? Well, of course, I think everyone sitting here wants a bright future. Well, if we sit here and focus on the negative, it's never going to be bright.
Yeah, and I think the reality, we can go all negative, but it ain't going to change anything. The only thing that's going to change is the WP Engine lawsuit. And in the end, either he's going to lose, which I think, or he should have the... It would be very beneficial for him to settle this affair as quickly as possible. But that's my opinion. But if he wants to drag it into the court, I'm pretty sure he's going to lose, and he's going to be forced to set up the structure of WordPress the way it should have been structured in the first place. And the way it's been structured is totally down to him, which is, in my opinion, an abomination. So what do you reckon, Spencer?
The problem is that WordPress, but I just did adjust the legal thing. First of all, there was a second class action certified or on the way to being certified. I don't change my opinion from day one that Mullenweg has basically dug himself an exit, because financially or otherwise, any of these lawsuits by themselves will be just catastrophic financially, especially when you have a certified class of WP Engine customers and then a second class of them. Those people have damages that I think are provable from the direct and malicious statements he said, starting with it's a cancer to shutting you down, to forking the plugins and all the rest. I wish I could be sympathetic. I don't, because he quintupled down and he continues to cock around with this Jubilee thing that I didn't know it was Mary or somebody just came out with a statement like, oh, we really mean it when we say it, but it hasn't changed yet. So no damages have been mitigated, which is one of the requirements under the law. If you run over the neighbor's cat, you're supposed to do something about it to try to help the situation, not continue to torture the cat. So that's the problem.
That's another lovely image. You got the dog in my mind there. You got the tortured cat in my mind.
Just saying, between Mullenweg and Otto, there's plenty of factual data for any court to decide that this was not accidental. It's malicious and intentional and willful, and it's a 20-year history of this behavior that is interlaced with financial harm to people who really relied upon the integrity of this platform and the people involved with it when they made public statements. That's just the law. The second part of it is with regard to the business. You know, the personalities of everybody here, even you, Jonathan, are all integral to the future of WordPress. And I think that I'm very optimistic in relation to what Mark said, too, that what we really need to do is focus on, like, what got us here is fine. What are we going to do now? And it's not really so much like talking of what happened in the past, because that's like us talking about when we went to camp as kids. And now we're all adults and we've seen the world as it really is. What are we going to do about it? And that's why I got so jazzed up about this. And I would really love it if in the future we had more time, for example, to talk about these things, because like the other stories are relative, but like for us, our financial livelihoods are in WordPress. And I think WordPress has never been more exciting, but not when you look at it like it was, only like it is. And that's the thing that to me doesn't require Mullenweg or Otto or anything. It requires the energy of all the people starting with us and the people in the community building stuff. But to our clients and the future clients, we have something that's incredible. No other platform exists other than maybe Drupal, which isn't even in the same realm, to do this with an open source. Yeah.
Sorry, thanks for that. Sorry, Heather, just to finish off, do you think in the end he's going to have to settle with these people? Because I don't wish him harm. I think automatic, if they really concentrated on providing a real alternative to Shopify, they could make tons of money. Tons of money. I think he's his worst enemy in some ways. But I just think he's going to be forced to settle this before it goes to court, isn't he, Heather?
Probably will have to settle, but knowing him, he's very contentious. And he might want to go to court just because he likes to be in the news cycle.
Yeah, you might be right. We all make mistakes. The main thing, we got to learn from them and stop digging. I've learned that the hard way. Number one thing when you made a big mistake, stop digging.
No, you guys know he'd settled the caregiver / housekeeper lawsuit because he made the stupid mistake of thinking like, I'm never going to settle in public. Losers don't settle in public. This is how he, you know. And then the reality kicked in like, wait till the floodgates of hell open up on you with all that information about your character.
Well, yeah, but there's certain things that are allowed in that kind of trial that aren't allowed in
But when it comes to his intent, which is, again, you know, we're getting like, when he opens the door as a defense to the WP Engine stuff about his state of mind, his intent, his willfulness, wantonness, and because there's going to be punitive damages.
Right. But I mean, like in a nanny kind of case, it's different.
Yeah, I decided not to cover that story because I was highly conflicted. Yeah. Because in some ways, because it was around the death of his father, he's a human being, an individual. And I chose not to cover that story, even though you could say, I just found the whole story icky for various reasons, and I didn't want to get involved with that story. But it does. Well, it has got relevance as well, hasn't it?
But the best he could have done is plead no contest to it. Like, I mean, it's not a... Yeah. Like, because... I mean, he's...
But it is an extremely ugly story because it's around the death of his father and that. And I don't agree with the way he's run certain things, but I'm not prepared for it to have a personal attack against him because he's never done anything to me. I don't agree with the way he runs things, and I don't even understand the logic of it, but I don't know. I don't have all the information. So I try and.
It's only relevant in one thing, John. It's not relevant to what he did in that icky thing. It's relevant insofar as he decided suddenly he has to clean up a bunch of litigation, which is the position that he has not been taking for 2 years or whatever it's been since this whole thing started. And that's relevant because somebody finally got through to him as a legal advisor that this is not going to be a good situation strategically to have laying around. That's my only point. Not the details of what happened, when, where, and why.
I do understand that. I do understand that. Right. It's cool. So, Matt, what's the best way for people to find out? Hopefully you haven't fallen to sleep. I think you're still with us, aren't you, Matt?
I'm still here. Yes, you can find me at my day job at gravityforms.com and WordPress stuff at the WP Minute.
Mark, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
You can find me on LinkedIn at Mark Benzikane. I'm always around Main WP. You can find me on the Facebook groups, LinkedIn pages, the Twitter pages, the everything else. And if you Google me, you might even find a few pages about me there too. So I'm not in hiding yet.
Well, Matt's done, but I would think you agree, Matt, Mark. Matt's done better than Kevin. Kevin, I thought you was actually falling asleep or this.
I am not going to badmouth any past guests of this show, but Matt was definitely more interactive than other guests.
Yes, there we go. So, Spencer, what's the best way for people to find out more about you?
You can find my AI personality living at WPLaunchFi.com or SpencerForman.com on social. Don't trust that it's really me, but it probably is. And I'll be outspoken on this show every chance I get, no matter what Jonathan Denwood tries to do to me, because I love him. I love him like a brother. The one that I left at the special place.
You've had almost half the time of this bloody show.
I have a special card in my wallet that's like one of those things you show to a Deep South sheriff when you get pulled over. Yeah, when I'm on this show once a month, you give me enough breathing room to say what's on my mind. Because
I've been very generous of in this show. So, Heather, how's the best way for people to find out more about you?
I can't read a lot of San Diego, you know.
I learned about that from Mark Wahlberg in the Transformers movie. I am Heatheriel online. I like pretty much everywhere. You can find me at The Difference. I am always available. So just find me.
That's great. If you want to support the show, go over to the WP Tonic YouTube channel. We push this show live. It's a great resource. Plus, there's a ton of videos for the WordPress power user, freelancer, and it's a great way of supporting the podcast and WP Tonic. So go over to the YouTube channel. I'm getting close to 10,000 subscribers. I'm going to hopefully next month push through that. And we'll see you next month for another roundtable show. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.